This is the Prima Fetishista. You're listening to the Fetish Dynasty podcast.
Welcome to the Fetish Dynasty podcast, episode 5. Up next is a conversation with my wife, Prima Fetishista. Hello and thank you for tuning in to the Fetish Dynasty podcast. Apologies for the long time between episodes. We moved into our first house since the last show and needed some time to settle in and take care of a few things. We are now back in the groove and I hope to produce more episodes in the coming months. In the meantime, we have posted some new photos on FetLife and we're very pleased to be featured in the news and culture section of the Skin2 website. At the time of this recording, you can still find us from the homepage at www.skin2.co.uk. We consider it quite a feather in our hoods to get this kind of exposure, especially from one of the titans of the fetish world. We must be doing something right. And now, without further ado, my conversation with the Prima Fetishista, my wife and partner in crime. This is Fetish Dynasty. I'm very pleased to have none other than the Prima Fetishista, my wife, on the other side of the table, which is quite a change. There's not a thousand miles and a Skype connection between us. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm actually quite nervous. as soon as we said it's go time, my heart started to pound, so I'm sitting here with sweaty palms and a big grin on my face, so I'm happy to be here, and thanks everyone for listening.
Not a problem. Nervousness is normal. First of all, some of your personal history. How early of an age did you know that you were into, you know, kinky sex?
Oh, boy. That's a tough question. I think I've always been slightly sexually deviant. I seem to recall being around 11 or 12 years old and having this incredibly naughty at the time. I mean, I was 11 or 12. Novella sort of erotica fiction in my possession. It had been passed around to all my friends, and I found it quite titillating, to say the least. And my stepmother found it and confiscated it because apparently it was not appropriate for my age group. Little did I know. I mean, I was secreting it underneath my bed for, you know.
Sorry, secreting or secreting? Nice little young Freudian slip there. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
So yeah, I mean, the content of that, I don't remember what it was called, but the content of it was certainly indicative of some light bondage, not really any S&M, but definitely the bondage aspect and very powerful, sexually powerful women who really rocked themselves. So I really, yeah, I think that's kind of where it started. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of hardwired too. I mean, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So that book, obviously, you know, you probably read it right about the same time as you were, you know, entering puberty.
Mm.
And
lots of frantic sessions with my mattress, indeed.
You and about 25 million other little girls around that age. So that sparked the imagination. Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself exploring or experimenting with anything like that with boyfriends that you had in high school?
In high school, I was an early bloomer, I guess. Well, in high school, I was an early bloomer, and I was very sexually curious. So I definitely messed around a little bit and got a few ideas for what I enjoyed and what I didn't enjoy. I think probably the experience that stands up the most was we'll call him a boyfriend, uh-huh, that I had when I was probably about 16 years old. And he was a little bit older than me. And
how older?
I think at the time I felt like he was about 100 years old, but I'm thinking he was probably maybe 21.
Right.
So anyways, we would get together and do our thing, and he had several sets of handcuffs and various implements of torture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first time with that particular guy that I got tied up, and I really enjoyed it. He handcuffed me to a what's that, the thing we put in the ceiling, an eye hook in
yeah.
the dungeon?
Yep.
Okay. He had one of those installed on the top of his bedroom door.
Uh-huh.
And he handcuffed me and hung me from there and had his way with me, and that definitely made an impression for sure. It was really hot, and I really enjoyed myself. I remember after telling my girlfriends what I had done, and they were just completely bowled over and incredibly jealous, but at the same time so fearful. And I think that little bit of fear is probably what makes it so exciting.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely a danger aspect mm-hmm. to it, a taboo, especially when you're younger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So after that experience,
yeah.
How did your 20s go in terms of experimenting?
Well, my 20s were pretty, I'm saying a lot. Wow, I apologize.
That's okay.
My 20s, I worked in a... in a unique sort of bar. I worked in a strip bar as a server, and so that afforded me quite a lot of opportunities to explore and meet different types of people and really learn and grow a lot. I know that sounds sort of tongue-in-cheek, but really it was a very valuable experience. And probably in my 20s, I spent a lot of time being very attracted to women. And actually, incidentally, my first experience with a woman was when I was 16 or 17 too, ironically. And that was my best friend. And yeah, that was, again, super hot. Very scary though. And of course, after that experience, I was left with all the residual feelings of, what does this mean? Does this make me a huge lesbian? Oh my God. And of course, at the time, being a lesbian was just, I don't know why. I suppose it's youth and the stigma that sort of goes along with it. It was just terrifying for me. But
yeah.
Yet,
I mean, that was, you know, 20 years ago, so, you know.
Oh God.
Things may have been a little bit more, you know, being gay wasn't so acceptable as it is now.
Yeah, true. Although in my family is very accepting of alternative lifestyles as a rule, just because there's so many gay folk in my family, so it's not really an issue. Anyways, that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so after that experience, then fast forward to my 20s, I'm working in a bar. I'm sort of getting a sense for my own sexuality finally. I really started to come into myself and feel a little more confident, sort of get an idea of what kind of power I had. And so I took to dragging pretty girls into dark corners and molesting them against their will, which really does it for me. I sound like a huge pervert, and
you are a huge pervert.
I am a huge pervert. The first step is admitting you have a problem. I am a huge pervert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was really, I draw on that a lot actually, even now when I think back and think about how naughty I was. And it wasn't very common at that time either. I think that nowadays it seems like there's more of a, there's an increase in female bisexuality and open displays of it.
Right.
So back then it was still not cool yet. And I really mm-hmm. got off on that part, the fact that I was doing something that was so taboo.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, the thought of back then, because we went to the same high school. We were 3 years apart.
And, so weird.
Yeah. And I just think back to, you know, if I saw two women holding hands walking down the street in the city that was near to where we were, and it would have been outrageous. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there would have been any gay bashing, but there would certainly be a lot of stares and people, you know, shocked and appalled or whatever. And now I don't even think anybody even notices.
No, I don't think twice about it when I see it. There was a time, maybe about 10 years ago, where I would be secretly high-fiving them, you know, and being like, yeah, you go, guys, girls, whatever the case may be. And now I just, if I even do notice it or register that that's happening, I don't even think I do, actually.
Yeah, you probably look at them and go, I wonder if they're bi.
Yeah. I wonder if they're looking.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That totally. One's cute.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So my 20s was an interesting time. I'm sure it is for all of us. I spent a lot of time drinking heavily, using drugs very, very heavily. Some of you may or may not know this, but I am clean and sober. 7.5 years, coming up on 8 years very quickly here.
Right on.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. That's a different subject, and if you want to talk about that more later, we can certainly do that. But definitely alcohol and drugs were a huge part of my development. I remember my first fetish party, and I was asked to model at a local fetish gathering. I don't remember what it was because I was wasted, but it was a lot of fun, and I got to wear some amazing clothes. And then after that, I did another fetish fashion show, and I got to wear some locally designed PVC outfits. That was, again, very cool. And we did the fashion show in a tattoo shop in town. It was pretty cutting edge at the time. And then the next event I went to I hosted it along with another gentleman, and I created my very first outfit, and that was, I think I was probably about 24, 25. Anyways, I bought a couple of packages of Saran Wrap and made myself a dress, and it was
awesome.
Epic.
No doubt.
So I go to this club. First of all, I walked there. Fortunately, I think I had a long coat on. In any case, I was about 2 blocks away. I walked to the club, and I go into the club, and I'm doing the business, and we've got the show underway, and everything's going great. It's a total hit. And then I come off stage for intermission or something, I can't remember what, and my aunt is standing there. And she's like, that's quite the outfit you have there. Yeah, it was pretty funny. We just kind of stood there and awkwardly stared at each other and kind of shuffled around and whatnot. But fortunately, she's very cool, very liberal-minded. Obviously, what would she be doing at a fetish fashion show in downtown, wherever we live?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyways, that was pretty fun. And then after that, what stands out? Oh, I saw my first public bondage session, and it was a local male he's got a pretty big reputation in town. He's very talented, and he was performing genital bondage on this other guy that I had kind of this tiny crush on. And so he'd hung him up from the ceiling, and he was performing very intense cock bondage with rope, and it completely and totally blew my mind. Like, this guy's penis was, I just didn't even understand how he was even not crying out in pain. And then I looked at his face, and I just saw this peace.
Yeah.
You know, and I...
Bliss.
Yeah, he looked like he felt free. And this person I'd known for a little while as an acquaintance, and he'd always seemed very tightly bound and very...
Just very reserved, very uptight even?
Not uptight, but just very guarded.
Right.
You know, very guarded, very private. Stoic. And so to see him completely transform and to allow himself to be vulnerable in front of a group of people like that was incredibly moving for me.
Yeah.
I think that was a turning point for me. And then I observed a friend getting a serious, serious spanking. And that was incredibly moving as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So in a different way. Yeah.
So yeah, those are a couple of experiences.
Yeah. Prima loves a good spanking.
I do love a good spanking and I usually earn them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So my 20s were great. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what about fetish clothing? Here's a big question for you. Do you consider yourself a fetishist? Would you say you have a fetish for anything like latex or leather or PVC?
Right. Now, are we talking present day or are we talking about my development?
Well, both. Right. You know, when I think of my fetish for rubber, I mean, it's always been there. At some point I finally put a name to the fabric, but I always knew something was there.
Right.
So, you know, if you think that your fetish developed, then I'd be interested in hearing about that.
Mm-hmm. I bought my first pair of PVC pants back in when I was 22 or 23, and they were super edgy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought them for work to serve drinks at a fetish event that was going on at the bar I worked at. And I just thought, ooh, these are kind of sexy and weird and awesome. So I put them on and oh my God, like I just felt invincible, you know? I felt sexy. They fit so good. They fit, you know, they kind of fit low on the hips, so my little 23-year-old hip bones were sticking out, and my flat, lovely tummy was just, you know, like, they were just so sexy. They were so sexy.
Wish I'd seen that.
You probably did. I think you were there, actually, but we didn't know each other then.
Probably was there, yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I had an interesting experience with those pants, because I wanted to wear them all the time, and I think I pretty much ended up wearing them too much. And the thing about wearing clothes like that and working in them is you know how much you sweat in them, obviously, as fellow fetishists. They were just so stinky.
You can wash PVC, you know.
No, I did, but they always smelled kind of, I don't know, anyways.
Musky.
Yeah, and so there was this other red pair of PVC pants that I wanted to get, and a girlfriend, a coworker, decided to go and buy them too. And I remember being just furious, like so possessive over these pants I had bought. They were my pants, and I was getting the red pants, and you can't have the red pants. And I just, like, I don't know what came over me. It was this crazy claim to the pants, you know, and I'm not like that. I'm not a girly girl. I don't paint my fingernails. I don't wear a lot of makeup. I'm very low maintenance, you know? So the fact that I had this crazy love affair going on with these shiny pants was really quite something else.
Yeah. Well, it sounded to me like you sort of identified yourself with them, you know, like it was it almost became oh, what would you call it? Like a hallmark or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I strongly identified with the pants.
Yeah.
And funny enough, I stopped wearing the pants shortly after that because I was walking home from work one evening completely wasted. I was walking to a morning shift. I had a noon start time and I decided I was going to wear my favorite pants to my day shift. So I was walking down the street in my shiny black pants, feeling so incredibly badass. And this guy drives by me very slowly and I'm like, he thinks I'm so hot. Of course he's slowing down. Oh, the ignorance of youth.
Yeah.
And he hangs his head out the window, and I'm like, wait for it, girlfriend. You know it. And he's like, so are you working? And I was like, yeah. Well, but here's the thing. Right. I was so naive, right? Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm on my way to work right now.
Oh, no.
I had no idea.
Oh, my God.
Until the guy drove away that he was obviously asking me if he could use my services.
Yeah. You. That was your first John.
Uh-huh. So, I never wore those pants again after that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was very sad.
Interesting.
But they were useful. And so I guess as time went on, I always liked wearing tight clothing in situations where there were lots of people.
Mm.
I really liked wearing things that accentuated my body.
Yeah.
And then there came a time where I joined roller derby in my early 30s. I think I was 30 or 29, something like that. 29 years old, I joined roller derby. And holy cow, a whole new world opened up there.
The world of fishnets.
Yes. Oh, my God. Help me. Fishnets.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways.
Speaking of fetishes, right?
Yeah, right. And so that's kind of where I was going with it, is that I have a huge fishnet fetish. A huge fishnet fetish.
But it's very specific.
It's very specific. And it's interesting to me because I didn't really understand what fetishes were, per se, until I really had developed one and recognized it for what it was of my own, you know? Mm-hmm. So this fishnet fetish, it's really hard to say that.
Really? Why?
I'm not going to do it again. Anyways.
What? Fishnet?
Say it 10 times.
I see what you mean.
Okay. Anyways. So it's very specific. It's not just any old kind of fishnet. It's fence net. They're the wide diamond net, mm-hmm. quite thick.
Yeah.
And pretty much any woman can be wearing them if they're the right kind. But it's, again, very specific. If any, like I said, any woman can be wearing them. And I will just be like, oh, that's so hot. So hot. I find it riveting. It's unbelievable. And I don't even know if I feel like sexual feelings. It just does something awesome to my brain. Like I'm just stoked beyond belief.
It's exciting, right?
Yes, it's very exciting. So yeah, that was the beginning, or maybe the recognition of a fishnet fetish.
Fetish, yep. Well, yeah. I mean, I characterize sexual fetish as, you know, anything that is, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what you're doing, context doesn't really matter, but as soon as you see that material or whatever it is, I mean, you're instantly, your brain just switches over and you're into sort of like fetish mode.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart speeds up. You know, if it's a really, you know, beautiful woman wearing it, it's suddenly even that much more exciting.
Oh, man.
And it doesn't even matter what you're doing. It totally takes over your brain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's one FetLife member who's taken to torturing me.
Yes.
And I absolutely love her for it.
Please don't stop. You.
Julia Fair, please don't stop.
I know she's
please don't stop.
She's quite the gal.
Dirty vixen.
Yeah, totally.
And I recently bought a play friend of mine, Hits and Giggles, a fenced up body stocking, and that really looks quite fabulous on her as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to fence net the world. That's my goal.
Yep.
Okay, so enough about that. I could go on about that for hours.
You're going to start jerking off if we keep going.
Holy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so let's see. Oh, all right. This was a pivotal moment. A bunch of girlfriends and I went down to Vegas, and I wasn't really sure about going to Vegas sober. This was my second time going to Vegas sober, and I had a fabulous time last time, but I'd gone with a partner then, and it was a little bit different. You know, when you travel with your partner, it's it's different,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There's that relationship aspect. And then when you go with your girlfriends, it's like, whoa.
All bets are off, yeah.
So that was a little nerve-wracking for me, but I ended up going and having an amazing time. It was, man, I was a bad girl in Vegas. And the fact that I can say that and I was completely stone cold sober is just tickles me, you know, like I think that's great.
Yeah.
So what I did for one of the evenings out was some friends of mine bought me a roll of black bondage tape. And I proceeded to make a very lovely dress out of it. And that was my first bondage tape dress that I ever made. And I hadn't ever heard of anyone making clothing out of this stuff. I hadn't seen any pictures. I just thought this was my idea and it was fabulous. Yeah. And I was pumped. And I went out on the town in this outfit and it was really quite something because so many people stared.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite tall and with my gigantic boots on, that makes me even taller. So,
You're about 6'1", 6'2", and a tall boots?
It depends. Like my thigh high boots, I am probably about 6'3" in those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that these people either thought I was some sort of low priced, shiny hooker. Or a male dressed as a woman.
Transvestite. So, yeah.
But I didn't give a shit because it was so fun. That was a great dress. And I'd like to do that again, actually, come to think of it.
I think I remember creeping on your Facebook before we actually met. And I saw that photo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Women who make themselves black bondage tape dresses are not normal. And this is exactly what I'm looking for.
Talking about I'm totally normal. Yeah. So, yeah. And then I met Fetish Dynasty at a roller derby game. Mm-hmm. And it was the point of no return. It really, like, that experience meeting Fetish Dynasty was a really cool night. I'll never forget it. I basically saw him and made a friend of ours introduce us to each other. And then I proceeded to ask him if he wanted to make out at the after party and that he should come down and see me sometime. And so he was like, okay. And so he came down and et cetera. And history was made. The Prima Fetishista and Fetish Dynasty hooked up. And so it was really when I met him, that I was introduced to latex. I would love to say that the fetish existed for me pre-Fetish Dynasty, but I don't think it really did. I mean, I'd seen it, but it didn't really, you know, rock my socks off or anything. It didn't set off any short circuits in my brain. It was just, you know. So when he and I first got together, he introduced this fine latex fabric to my virgin body.
Do you remember the first latex you wore? What was that? What did you put on?
I remember the first time you tied me up, and I was pretty much, I was pretty excited.
Yeah, God.
That was a good time. He's got the skills to pay the bills as far as the bedroom.
I have a lot of leather restraints and chain.
Yeah.
That helps.
It was really, he was very gentle with me too, because as much as I have been tied up before and tied people up prior to our getting together, I hadn't experimented with such heavy duty restraints. Like the guy I was dating before I met you, I tied him up all the time, and he was totally new to that, and he just loved it. But I tied him up with, you know, kind of, not for want of a better word, pussy restraints, right? I just tied him up and and whatever. But
this is the kind you buy at the local sex shop.
Oh, no, no, no.
Like tickle me with a feather kind of.
Slap and tickle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Package, yeah. No, what did I use? I got some rope. I had some silk scarves. I mean, he couldn't get away. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But they weren't anything like the badass gear that you first tied me up with. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. I really fell in love with you.
Yeah.
And with the gear itself, like the smell of the leather and the clink of the hardware and just the way it looked was just so sexy to me. It was so sexy. And I had, like, my jewelry of choice up until then had been like leather cuffs with like not studs on them, but like hardware and stuff. So that was definitely something that I was attracted to. And I remember that first time that you tied me up, and his bed looks very benign. And of course, my friends that our mutual friends had told me, oh, that Fetish Dynasty, he's a freak in the sheets. Watch out. He's totally into blah, blah, blah. Right. And so I was so pumped. I was like, yeah, it's going to be sweet. So I was so excited to like see this bed of his. Right. When I first walked in and saw his bed, I was incredibly disappointed because it looked so, it was very tasteful and clean lines, and there was no hardware or swings or anything. I was just like, fuck, are you kidding me? This is not what I signed on for. And so when he tied me up the first time, I found out about the magic bed.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, the most erotic sound to me is the sound of the bed being picked up, the mattress being picked up, and the chains being grabbed out from underneath the bed and thrown onto the floor.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What's a Pavlovian response?
Absolutely.
You know what's coming.
There's orgasms coming.
Orgasms on the way.
So our first experience was very cool. My very first leather or latex piece, I think, was probably the, he took me shopping, you took me shopping to Deadly Couture.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped a bundle, and I was just really shocked because I'd never had anyone treat me like a princess before. And so.
And did you even realize how much money that stuff cost?
Oh, I had absolutely every idea.
It's probably a shock for the first time where it's like, holy Jesus, this stuff's expensive.
I was just like, I can't even believe this is happening, because he's, you know, he's yanking out thing after thing, and I'm like, ooh, look at this thing. He's like, try it on, you know. And it was, you know, and every girl dreams of, you know, the whole pretty woman scene, right? Like, she gets to go and buy whatever she wants, and here I am doing the pretty woman scene in a
fetish store.
In a fetish store. It was fucking brilliant. It was so great. So I think probably the first latex item of clothing I wore was my polymorph keyhole top,
right,
which is gorgeous and so sexy.
Yeah.
And it's a great first piece for a newbie.
Right, because it's not so much of it.
It's not hard to get into.
Yeah.
And it's still very sexy looking. Like, it hasn't got that androgynous rubber dolly kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
It's very feminine. And
it can be matched with a lot of other.
Oh, yeah, mix and match. It looks great with my polymorph corset and various other corsets that I have. So but probably the very first item of latex I ever wore was, of course, a latex hood.
All you women out there who aren't sure, you know, I totally did it wrong in retrospect. You're supposed to start with panties or whatever, or
latex
maybe
stockings,
maybe some
nice
stockings
gloves.
Okay, put this on. You're like, okay.
Seriously, I don't know, man. I have to, you know this already. When I found out about the hoods, I was like, okay, I am totally smitten with you. I'll do whatever you want me to, but this is not sexy. I do not feel sexy. I hate this. And I don't think I'll ever get used to it. Please, God, make it stop.
Holy smokes.
It was, you know, and that was my genuine reaction to wearing this hood. And And I, you know, interesting, like I've done some reading on women being first introduced to hoods and stuff, and it's been brought to my attention that they often think that they become fearful when their husband wants them to wear a hood all the time or occasionally, that means he doesn't think they're beautiful or that they want to cover up their face.
Right.
Well, I have to tell you, ladies, from personal experience, that is totally not the case.
Yep.
He absolutely thinks you're beautiful and sexy and divine, and he wants to fuck the shit out of you. But with the latex hood, what it does is it covers you up to a degree that it takes away your identity.
Yeah.
And only he knows what's underneath there.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives it that...
It's an objectification.
Totally. He's totally objectifying you in a very good way.
Yeah.
I'll add.
Yeah.
But it's not because he doesn't love you or think you're beautiful. You just, if anyone's out there thinking that, please do put that aside, because that's totally not the case.
Yeah. And not only that, but it only reveals, you know, like your eyes or your mouth. So it actually, it turns your... some features that you have up to, you know, off the scale.
Absolutely.
Amplifies their beauty.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. And for me, I've always thought that as far as my face goes, that my eyes and my lips were probably like my best features. You know, I don't really walk around thinking I'm gorgeous or anything like that. And I never have. And I probably never will, and I'm okay with that. But I do think that a hood accentuates the eyes and lips to a degree that is just very...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very sexy. And it's also really, I mean, it's kinky. You know, it's weird. It's dark. It's bizarre. It's edgy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's so many things about it that make it so desirable.
Yeah. And the smell is fine. Well, here we are talking about like how we love latex, but I started out talking about how I hated it. But
yeah.
So I just want to say that when I first started doing it, wearing hoods in particular, I didn't really enjoy it at all. But with Fetish Dynasty's support and loving and
persistence.
Very persistent and forceful.
Put this on.
Here, put this on. I really have grown into a bit of a hood fetishist myself. Mm. I definitely have a taste for it, and I enjoy it. And my hoods from Latex Nemesis are by far my favorite hoods. They're very sexy, very feminine. I love what they do for my face and my lips. And the fact that there's hair on it really helps me kind of feel more feminine as opposed to totally androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not knocking people who love the androgynous look. I think that's awesome. It's just not really my thing. And that's really because of my own insecurities too, right? Like I like to look, when I'm in rubber, fairly feminine and strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Now, do you like to see women that you know, girlfriends, in hoods?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I like to hood virgins.
Yeah.
I like to put someone who's never worn latex before into latex, whether that be a hood or clothing. And I don't know what that is. I guess that's my desire to debauch everything.
Yeah. It's a noble goal, noble pursuit.
But I really, when someone's very beautiful, I find myself wondering now in regular everyday life and vanilla life, what they'll look like with a hood on, you know, so.
My plan has worked.
Yeah, your diabolical plan. So right. Yeah, I do enjoy putting hoods on my women friends, and I do imagine what certain women would look like in a hood.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's neat to see. It's neat to see their reaction when they look at themselves in the mirror. And I know that, you know, Purple Wonder commented that when she, I think she, when she was with her photo shoot with James Alexander, as soon as she put it on, he said that her demeanor completely changed.
Absolutely.
You know, like she became kind of a different person.
Mm-hmm. And you can see it in her photos, actually. I love Purple Wonder and Naf. They're amazing. She totally immediately turns into a more dominant version of herself. You can see it in her eyes. You can see it in her posture. It's pretty incredible, the transformation that takes place. I can definitely say that for me, the same thing happens. I don't become more dominant per se. It's almost like I grow, you know? Like, you know how when the Hulk, he just busts out of his clothes and he gets all, you know, like the Green Hulk, the Incredible Hulk?
Yeah, yeah.
And his veins all pop out and he's all like all of a sudden this all-powerful being and he's going to go and kick some ass?
Yeah, you turn into a superhero, right?
Yeah, that's what I feel like when I put a hood on. I turn into a goddamn superhero.
You look like one too.
I can do anything in that goddamn thing except for maybe go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. and eat. Grocery shopping and eat.
Yeah. Well, we did do a... Well, never mind.
No, we should tell the story. So we had a rubber day.
Yeah, it was fun. It was our very first whole rubber day, actually.
Yeah, we were both in total enclosure, and we're sitting down at the table to have some dinner. And the only hoods I had were a polymorph with... Basically, I had a few polymorph hoods, but the one she was wearing had, you know, eyes and mouth holes, and it was fairly thin and quite comfortable.
Easy to wear.
Easy to wear. And the only one I had that I could wear was a really, really thick. I mean, it was almost like a bondage hood.
It was incredibly thick.
Really thick. Luckily it fits me, but if I wear it for too long, it just gets really painful. But as a result, the mouth part is not really flexible. So here we are sitting across from each other at the table. And I'm trying to sort of stick chicken pieces into my mouth. And it's like I'm having to like open my lips up to put the chicken in there. It was not sexy at all.
It was really not sexy, but it was so funny. We had such a good belly laugh. Oh, my gosh.
Man.
It was great.
Yeah. If you can't laugh at each other in the middle of a scene, you're just not doing it right. Because sometimes it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, totally.
Now, one of our favorite things to do is get in our Kink Engineering vac bed, which we fucking love.
Yay, Kink Engineering.
Oh, my God.
Shameless plug.
I still have bruising along the sides of my body from how tight the suction is. I mean, it's probably something has to do with the 5-horsepower shop vac.
The fact that it was yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes about like 5 seconds to suck down. It's just ludicrous. Anyway, so you found that you really enjoy it. So what do you like most about it? Besides what happens to you after you're in it for a while.
Well, duh. Yeah, right. Yeah. The first time the first time I went into a vac bed, a friend of ours was kind enough to lend it to us for a weekend. And they did that a couple of weekends for us. And so the vac bed that I experimented with initially was probably not as good of quality. It had a zipper, which... I do like the zipper, but whatever.
Very weak.
Latex was clearly not as good of quality.
Yeah, it wasn't as big either.
Yeah, and it wasn't as big. Our vac bed is almost double the size of that one, I think.
Yeah, and most importantly, it didn't have a one-way check valve. So in order for it to work, the vacuum had to be on all the time.
Yeah, right. So you didn't get, which is part of the reason why I'm so in love with this one too. So that experience was very cool. The first time I got in it, I was afraid because I can tend to be a little claustrophobic. I know it's weird.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I got in it and I had to keep my head out for a while because I was feeling a little bit panicky. Breathing through my mouth for some reason it makes me feel out of control. I'm not a fan of mouth breathing, so if you ever want to make me freak out and totally chop the crap out of me, make me breathe through my mouth because I'm gonna hate you for it.
Yep.
So eventually I slid in and I got in and it was awesome. But it was a great experience as far as my first vac bed goes. However, this new vac bed that we've got from Kink Engineering is so totally awesome. I was so pumped. We were so pumped. We were like kids at Christmas waiting for this freaking thing to show up. And we got it. We set it up. We got out the shop vac. I went in first, I think.
Yeah.
And that bed sucks down so hard. You can see the person's, all the curves in their ear. If Fetish Dynasty has like a rogue hair in there, you can see it. It sucks down so much. There's an intense amount of pressure on your ears. The pressure wasn't as bad on my face as I thought it would be, based on my previous experience. So I got in. Get in. It's cold. I don't like that part. I'm a big baby. I don't like to be cold. So slide in, and I wait for what seems like forever for him to get the enclosure thing down, which we've found a solution to,
make
by the
seal
way.
Good. Yep.
And turns the vacuum on. And it's really crazy because the feeling is like, oh my God, I'm doing this. I'm really doing this. Here we go. And then it's almost like you take off flying. I yeah. don't know if anybody else feels like that, but it's like flying. It feels like flying to me.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. And the level of restriction and the smell of the latex, Kink Engineering, their latex smells like white chocolate to me. It's such mm-hmm. a great smell.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
So the smell and the restriction, the bondage of the bed, the being completely immobilized, not being able to speak, and then the vacuum gets turned off, so it's totally silent.
Yeah.
Just incredible. Just incredible. Everything I want out of a bondage experience. Mm-hmm. For me, it's perfect.
It's pretty much the ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, we fit a hood into it instead of the mouth breathing apparatus, and so I can breathe through my nose, which is great. So we just tape the mouth shut and breathe through the nose. Mm-hmm. So for bondage, for me, it's perfect because I have TMJ. So a ball gag really hurts my jaw a lot. So it's great. I couldn't hear a word he was saying. He was talking to me while I was in there, and I thought he had left the room.
Yeah, that's
and it
weird.
Was until he touched me that I realized he had been there the whole time. It was just phenomenal. I really would like to be left alone in there, but if Fetish Dynasty, once I get in there, he can't keep his hands
off
me. I
keep my hand. I know.
It's funny, but I would like to be left alone in there for a while. Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
Well, careful what you wish for.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see about that, tough guy.
So then the magic wand comes out.
Oh, brother.
So was it the first time you got in that thing, and I put the Hitachi on you, and yeah, good things happened.
It's crazy that Hitachi thing. I'm a little afraid of it to be truthful. Because it's so powerful, I'm just afraid that it's either A, going to burn my clit right off one day. It's just going to be like a smoking hole in my vagina, right?
Yeah.
Or that B, I'll just become so desensitized to regular contact that I won't be able to have an orgasm without some sort of vibrating mechanical apparatus, you know? So I kind of would like to lay off that thing for a while.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
We're having a minor disagreement.
Yeah, totally. Well,
we
but I mean,
witnessing
I mean, didn't
a minor didn't, disagreement.
Didn't you ejaculate that first time?
Yes,
for the first time.
I'm pretty sure. Like we've been trying really hard for a long time to get me to ejaculate, also known as squirting, just because we're pervy like that, and I just really wanted to. I want to be able to do it, right? So, he put the Hitachi on me, and something about the direction of the pressure and the motion of the way he was handling the wand, I orgasmed several times. And then on my last orgasm, I felt liquid shooting down my legs. And because the vac bed was so tight, it was taking the liquid away from away from my middle and then shooting it down to my feet.
Down the seams against your leg.
Up against my legs. It was incredible. So that's the only way I knew.
Yeah.
Because I could feel all this water shooting down my legs. It was totally nuts and awesome. So of course I'm like, you know, I'm done. Let me out of here so I can tell you what the hell just happened. And after I wiped the inside of it out, we had a good giggle. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Huh. And then the other day, speaking of ejaculation.
Oh, God.
That was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
So we now in our, but by the way, we're broadcasting this from our brand new house. Well, the house is not brand new, but it's new to us. And we actually have a room set aside for a dungeon. And we've painted it white. We've put up a bunch of pegboard with all our gear along the walls.
We've posted pics on FetLife.
Yeah, there's a picture on FetLife. One of the great things is that we don't have to constantly stow away and take apart all our gear when we're not using it. We just shut the door and lock the door, and there it sits. So, and I've installed, you know, all kinds of eye hooks in the ceiling and that sort of thing.
That's so awesome. And we don't have to wipe the jism up off the floor every time unless we feel like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So it's pretty. If you're out there looking for a house or something, make sure it has an extra room in the basement.
Dude.
For no other reason than to just turn into a dungeon because, dear Lord.
Everybody needs a sex room.
Oh, that's good stuff.
There's always sex in the sex room.
Yeah, there's totally. There might not be champagne in the champagne room, but there's sex in the sex room. So I chained you to the ceiling. You were wearing a hood and a ball gag and a head harness. Mm-hmm. And I attached your head to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And there was a eye hook on the wall near the floor that I chained your wrists behind your back, and then the chain attached to the floor. And I strapped your legs together with the hitachi in between and plugged it in and stood back and watched the show.
Yeah.
And what was that experience like for you?
That was crazy. We haven't, what was I going to say? I don't know where I was going with that, but
you were sort of reliving it.
Oh my gosh. So I think one of the first things I heard was him turning on the videotape or the video camera as soon as I was all locked down. And I was like, oh gosh, you know, like, please don't post this on FetLife while I'm here helpless. Like, that was a pretty big mind fuck for me. I don't know if he realizes. Do you realize that you're doing that?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Yeah. Like, and being afraid he'd just send it to random folks, not just, you know, the usual suspects, right? Just to his mom. Hey, mom, look at your daughter-in-law.
That's another story.
She looks sexy. Oh, yeah. Well, that's another time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, last weekend from the ceiling, awesome. It was crazy. Initially, we had some technical difficulties with the Hitachi, figured that out, and then turned it on, and then I was orgasming, and I was orgasming hard, and I couldn't get away from the thing because my feet were chained together.
Your ankles were strapped together. There was two straps above and below your knees, and there was a strap
around
your hips.
Right.
Or your thighs, sorry.
So I couldn't get away from this thing, even if I tried. And so as I'm orgasming and it's getting more and more intense, I'm like, get this fucking thing off me, right? Like, holy crap. And then my legs buckled and I'm hanging from the ceiling.
Hanging from your head, basically.
Hanging from my head because I had a head harness attached to the ceiling, right? And I'm swinging around as I start to gush. It was unbelievable. It was crazy.
It was a good deal of fluid on the floor.
It was just rushing out of me. And of course, he couldn't see it because
it fell in behind.
It came around in behind, like down the backs of my legs. But the stuff is running down my legs and I can hear it and it's all over my feet and I'm slipping in it. It was pretty comical, actually, when you think about it. And so I recover from that and I'm like, okay, we're done. I'm done. We're good. No. Minor adjustment. Hangs me back up. He's like, you got another one in you.
Always pushing.
Which is one thing he always says to me is, you got another one
in
there.
Yeah. And she always does, by the way.
I'm good like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the second time I was like, okay, this will just be a regular kind of orgasm. Like I have any choice, right? So again, it starts to happen and it's building and it's building and it's building and I'm screaming through this ball gag and I'm pretty sure my eyes were very unsexily bulging out of my head. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening again. And it started to gush out of me again. And I was like, what in the hell? How is this happening? And girlfriend, you better be careful what you wish for.
Yep.
Like you wanted to squirt, here you go, right? Like I am literally letting go, like probably like at least a cup of water out of myself.
Yeah.
Just letting it go all over the floor. And then when it was finished, and again, I'm hanging from the ceiling from my head and my knees are kind of, you know, all haywire. And I just started to sob. Yeah. Uncontrollably. It was really intense. That's never happened to me before. I'm not one of those girls that cry after sex and, you know, need to have a cuddle. I'm actually quite the opposite. Get away from me, make me a sandwich.
Yeah.
You know,
okay, like, let's go. Yeah.
Let's have a shower and let's have our quiet time now. So the fact that like I was just completely broken. I was broken after that. And I felt so vulnerable. I rarely allow myself to get into situations where I feel that vulnerable. And so it was really intense and I'm really happy that it was Fetish Dynasty that was there with me for that experience, because he knew exactly what to do. Although he looked a little scared.
I was a little worried at the beginning when he started bawling. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I've taken it too far.
Which he's done before.
Broken my toy.
Yeah. He's definitely taken it too far before, but this was different. And so his aftercare was really great. And then we had a good chuckle and tried to measure the water all over the floor, but realized that was probably a futile effort. So.
Yeah, before we slipped in it.
Yeah,
We need to get some of those yellow wet floor signs.
Yeah.
To put around after sex. Oh, God. Oh man, so yeah, that was fun.
That was crazy. I'm not in any hurry to do that again though.
Right.
I know.
Well, I'll switch, but I'll trade you.
Yeah.
I'll trade positions any day.
Right.
So cool. So what is your favorite latex thing to wear?
That I currently have?
Yeah.
My new clothes that you made for me.
Yeah.
For sure. I have a lot of, I've had so many basic pieces for so long and been mixing matches,
mixing and matching. Yep.
The same pieces for so long that I just was becoming really bored with it. So it's nice to have a few more pieces, but now that I have that hunger, I just want more and there's pretty much going to be no pleasing me. You can't produce stuff fast enough for me. I'm looking forward to getting my new red cowl neck top and maybe some more latex garter belts and maybe some more leggings and maybe a couple of dresses.
Oh, dear God. If there's not another podcast for 6 months.
You know why.
But the pictures are going to be worth it.
Oh, man. I'm really excited to get those new clothes. And I'm excited to take some new pictures, not in the fetishy, fashion-y kind of studio setting.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work on that and work on lighting and stuff. So we'll have some cool photos coming up for you guys once we get that sorted out.
We'll definitely be trying to shoot in every room in the house.
Mm-hmm. Without giving ourselves away.
Especially the dungeon. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be a fun one.
So we're just waiting for another bit of furniture in the dungeon and some art on the walls in the other room, and we'll definitely be publishing some more images. If you're friends with us on FetLife, we post a handful of photos every once in a while, just of friends that come over and try on latex clothes and have their photos taken with Prima Fetishista, which is
so
always fun.
Funny. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable.
So cool.
So speaking of other girlfriends, you are bisexual. That's how you characterize yourself?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, heteroflexible just doesn't seem strong enough a word.
No, and you're right. You're right. I did go with heteroflexible for a long time, particularly on FetLife, because I wasn't really sure. How do I explain this? Like, I've had experience with women up until I changed my thing from heteroflexible to bisexual, but it wasn't recent enough, maybe, I don't know, or intense enough, or I felt like a poser by putting bisexual up until the time that I changed it. So mm-hmm. for me, heteroflexible really worked until the point that I did. And I've always been, well, not always, but for the last 10 years, I've been incredibly sure that I'm bisexual, and probably bisexual since birth. Like mm-hmm. it's seriously something that is just, it's just part of who I am. Mm-hmm. Owning the title and not being afraid to be put in boxes by people who judge is great. Yeah. Even the people who judge those, what do they call them? Barsexuals.
Barsexuals.
Yeah. It's pretty cute.
That's a great expression. Yeah.
But here's the thing, you know, like I really try not to judge those girls who are out there making out with each other in bars for attention, because I don't know what's going on in their heads. I don't know if they've secretly been, you know, like wanting to finger bang their girlfriend behind the Coke machine since like grade two, right? Like we don't know that. So I really try to not judge anyone really, actually. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that can be tough sometimes because there's certain situations that happen that are kind of skeezy.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So bisexual for sure. I love women. And I am actually, in fact, rarely attracted to men these days. And I don't know if that's new or if it's simply that I'm giving myself the freedom to accept that about myself. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably closer to the truth, actually. I of course think that Fetish Dynasty is incredibly sexy and I'm very much in love with him and I love to shag the crap out of him and do various other things to him.
Yes.
And there's a handful of men that I'm quite attracted to. Mm-hmm. But really, I'm primarily attracted to women. So I like to joke that I'm just actually a lesbo. And
lesbo who likes cock once in a while.
I just like a little cock once in a while.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Yeah.
Well, there's people who don't like, cock.
I could do without it, yeah. I got my own. That's all I need.
Yeah. So, how do we make that work in our marriage? It's been a bit of a trial and error thing. I guess the ideal situation for us would be for me to have a play partner that's casual, mm-hmm. And very low maintenance.
Yep.
Lighthearted and fun, and someone that would be totally open to having Fetish Dynasty in the room while that happened. We've been very fortunate to have that experience with a person, and it was incredible. And I look forward to possibly doing that again, maybe a few thousand times.
But,
basically, we're not looking, and this is the tough thing, because I think people automatically assume on FetLife, for instance, that because we're fetishists or whatever we call ourselves, we fuck everybody.
Yes. Well, swingers almost.
Yeah. It's like they assume we're swingers, and it's crazy because I don't have really any desire to sleep with any other men. Mm-hmm. I just really don't.
Yeah.
Nor women do I. And Fetish Dynasty doesn't either. but being with a woman is something that I crave. Something that I really enjoy and something that Fetish Dynasty and I have decided is okay within our marriage with mm-hmm. certain rules and regulations applied. So,
yeah.
I think it's gonna evolve even more as time goes on. I think that we will strike a perfect balance eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, we're just gonna keep having fun and learning and tying each other up and
taking pictures
and letting me have sex with pretty girls.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm sure people will be interested to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I apologize for any repetitive phrases I've used, like sort of, or yeah. or like. This is my first interview, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now people get a sense of the personality behind the hood.
Totally. Yeah, it was super fun.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Be sure to check out Prima's blog, which you can find at primafetishista.blogspot.com. She calls it The Random Thoughts and Experiences of a Perv. Fitting title indeed. We'd love to get your feedback on the podcast, so please send an email to podcast@fetishdynasty.com or message us on FetLife. Until then, keep your powder dry. Take care, you bunch of perverts.